Hey everyone, it's Darren here from Chapel at St. Mark's City Church. We had such a great time at Chapel Conference this year. We had guests come in, we had people come from all over the country, and we just wanted to release the talks for you. We hope that you're as challenged and as blessed as we are, whether it's your first time listening to them, whether you were there and you just want to recap. Grab a notepad, grab a pen, and dive into all that the Lord was saying to us over those couple of days. You know, I took just a little walk around whenever we were worshiping there. And I remember when we were moving, I remember thinking about Ireland, thinking about the statistics, thinking about what all of these things were saying about Ireland. And I remember trying to go, Lord, like, what do we need? Like, what's it going to take? Because I don't believe culture and statistics should write the story of a nation, but Lord, what's it going to take to turn it? What's it going to take to turn the tide? What's it going to take to see nations and cities and towns give their lives and their hearts fully to you? And I began to read through the scriptures, and I was seeing that Jesus picks out 12 people, and didn't go well for one, so let's say 11, and He picks out just this group of people, and they turn the world upside down. And I remember saying, like, they turn the nations upside down. And I remember praying, Lord, if you'd give us 50 people, you're the same God, maybe you could turn an island upside down. And as I stood up there and you were singing, like, he's the same God, he's the same God, he's the same God. I'll stand with my arms high and my heart abandoned unto him. I wondered what it would be like if the Lord, we allowed ourselves tonight to dream about what it would look like, that as you go home to, maybe you're not from Dublin, but as you go home to whatever city or town that you're from, if we believed that, you know, we've got a few more than 50 in here, like, what couldn't the Lord do? Why couldn't the Lord do it? What if our prayer wasn't, Lord, could you? And we began to speak to ourselves and say, come on. There, you've got a lion inside of you. The lion of the tribe of Judah is with you and he is for you. So what if we turned the question and said, Lord, why couldn't you turn my town upside down with the gospel? Lord, why couldn't you use me to spark something in my community? Why couldn't you use me to turn a nation back to you? The last preach of a conference is always interesting, because what happens throughout a whole conference is that we receive so much. Like, when we want it, we want courage, the people to encourage us, people to teach us, people to impart something to us. And I guess I feel like my role at this moment is to try to pull something out of you now. We put so much courage in the Word of God, and like, the Lord's been giving to you and people have been giving to you, and now it's not time to think about, oh, what am I going to get from conference? Now's your time to begin to ask yourself, what am I going to do after conference? And so as we share, as we look at the Word of God, ask yourself the question, what am I going to do? What couldn't God do through me, through an ambassador, through a room full of Jesus people? What couldn't God do? And so Jesus, speak to us. Speak to us. God, I pray we would have open hearts, and I pray we would have open minds, because you might want to say something that's outside of the plan that we formulated. You might want to say something that we haven't thought about before. You might want to say something that goes against the way that I think. But Jesus, give us open hearts and open minds, open hands to receive all that you want to give to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Can we show our appreciation to the worship team? Thank you so much. They've been working so hard. We appreciate you all. Are you good? Good. Have you enjoyed conference so far? I'm so grateful for all of our guests, for some of our friends for coming along, and for just making the time to be here with us. I'm a firm believer that there's some things you can't learn. You just have to catch it off some people. And so I'm always like, who can we get around that we could try to catch some stuff off? And so I hope that you've caught some things. I'm really praying that, do you know, if you get around someone, do you remember back in like COVID days? You got around someone with COVID and you didn't know for like 3 days, and then you had to like trace back everybody that you'd seen for 3 days. I'm really praying that like in 3 days time, 2 days time, 1 day time, you're like, oh my goodness, I caught something and I didn't even know. And the Lord begins to grow it inside of you. And so let's jump in. We themed this conference Jesus People because I'd been thinking a lot around a couple of verses that we find in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read them to you before we jump in. And it says this from verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for God. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Let me just go over one verse again. Verse 20. So we are, doesn't say you will be, doesn't say you should be, we are Christ's ambassadors. Turn to somebody and say, you are Christ's ambassador. Turn to somebody else, say, you are Christ's ambassador. Turn to somebody else and say, what's an ambassador? You are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal. Think of all the things that God could make his appeal through. And God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ, the Word. Christ is the Word. But yet we speak for him. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Like, it's like someone should do a conference around these verses. But like, there's loads in it. Like, we are Christ's ambassadors. I know you won't maybe believe me, but I am the smallest of a bunch of brothers. All right? I am the least muscly. I am the least athletic looking. I am the shortest out of all of the brothers. I went to a school. I'm the oldest of them all, and I'm the smallest. But so I have to play on like that big brother fear inside of them. You're like, back off, and hoping that they don't get too close. But I remember when I went to school. I went to a school, and in that school, everybody played rugby or hockey. That was it. I just wanted to play football, and everybody played rugby or hockey, and I just wanted to play football. And we weren't allowed to play football. It was rugby or hockey. And so what happened was I got forced to play some rugby for a year. All right? I mean, I was 12. Everybody's the same size when they're 12. And so I was playing rugby when I was 12. But here's the problem. I played rugby with a footballer mindset. So this is pre-Jesus, so no judgment, because everybody who's in Christ is a new creation. But so what happens if you, like, let's say somebody else, because I don't want you to have to incriminate yourself. If somebody else is playing football and somebody tackles you quite physically, there is a small chance that that somebody would end up in somebody else's face, ready to fight, like swinging punches. It might kick off a little bit. But in rugby, that's the whole point. Just hurt them and hope they drop the ball. Like, all right. That's kind of it. Like, who can hurt? And you're like, oh, that looked like it hurt. That was probably good. And so I played rugby with my footballer mindset. I say footballer like I was a footballer, right? With that mindset. And so the first time somebody tackled me physically, I laid hands on them with a closed fist. And I would say in my first 6 months of playing rugby, I would say at least every other match, I was like in the sin bin or sent off. I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the mindset for it. I was like, how am I ever going to get around this? And how am I, like, because they make you play it. Like, we have no choice. Until the headmaster called me into his office one day. I got called out of history class into the office. And he sat me in the office and he said, Darren, I just need to let you know that we're sending a letter to your mother. I'm like, well, good luck. And we're going to let your mum know that you're no longer allowed to play rugby in our school. Like, because you are bringing the name of this school into disrepute. Now, I didn't know what that meant. But I assumed it was bad because I was in the office and my mom was getting a letter. And I was like, all right, so like what? He says, so whenever people are playing rugby, you can just like kind of, you have to, I had to get into my rugby gear and just hang about and just kind of sit about until everyone else had finished playing rugby. I wasn't allowed to play it because how I carried myself really affected the reputation of the school. They were worried that their reputation would be affected by how I would play, by how I would interact, by how I would speak to people. They were worried about their reputation based on how I would be and how I would act. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the concept of an ambassador, and I'm not, like, when we read that verse, like, it wasn't an era when there was, like, brand ambassadors and you might get this or that if you'll post it on, like, it wasn't any of that. But this idea of ambassadors, and I guess the easiest way for me to describe it to you is the idea of like a political ambassador, because it's the kind of the same kind of idea and concept. What happens is we have a country over here, let's say America, because you're here. All right, I'll try to be nice. And Ireland, because we're here, and they all think they're Irish anyway. And so we have these two countries, and I will be over here in Ireland, and I get sent to America. And now I live in America, but I'm Irish and not Irish, but I'm actually Irish. I'm over here, I'm Irish, and here's the reality of an ambassador. I'm sent from there to here, and now I'm here, but I don't answer to here. I answer to there. My government is here. I am ruled by here. My king is here, like my government, like my boss is here. My assignment comes from here. I'm over here, but this is not my home. I'm not applying for my citizenship. I'm not trying to be American. I'm not trying to fit in with everyone else. In fact, I'm over here with a mission and with a job to do. And I'll be here for as long as these guys decide that I can stay. They sent me here with a mission and with a job. And while I am here, do you know what I've got? While I'm here, if you in America want to know what Ireland thinks, you can ask me. If you need Ireland to make a decision on some stuff, you can ask me. I have an authority over here. I was given an authority over here in America from my government over here and from the people that rule over here. And so with all of that in mind, if you're smart enough, you're already going with me. With all of that in mind, if I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, like the verses say that I am, an ambassador for the kingdom of God, then I need to give this some thought. Like, I need to try to work out how this transfers across, because this is now heaven, obviously, and over here is earth. Because Ireland is, you know, right? Yeah, you're with me. Yeah, that's a good point. Amen. And so I'm over here, but my assignment's from there. I might be here. This is not my home. I am not applying for citizenship. I am not looking to settle. I'm not looking to fit in with everybody. I'm not looking, because I'm sent from here. My citizenship is here, and ultimately I answer to God. I'm supposed to live differently. I'm supposed to represent the interests of the kingdom of God. The earth is not my home. Heaven is my home. And while I'm here, I carry a level of authority that does not come from here. It comes from there. It comes from a different space. It comes from a different king. It comes from a different kingdom, from the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador of Christ. And so as I read it, and as I start to think it through, and what does that mean for my life and who I am while I live on this earth and how I'm supposed to act and react and think, my question to myself has been, does that sound like me? If I described somebody like that, would you say, me? Would people say, you? Does it sound like how we live our lives? Like, does it sound like how I live? Does it sound like how I think? Does it sound like how I act? Because, the verse said that I'm an ambassador. It didn't say I'm a good one. It just said I am one. And so, if I bear the name of Christ, I'm representing him anyway. Whether I choose to think it through or not, whether I choose to act like him or not, whether I choose to try to settle or not, regardless, if I choose to bear his name as a Jesus person, as a Christian, then I am an ambassador, whatever that looks like. And let's be honest, we've known some bad ones. We've known some people to present him poorly to us. I am an ambassador. You are an ambassador. It comes with the territory. If you give your life to Jesus, that is who you are. And we like all of the, I'm a son and I'm a daughter. And it's lovely and it's true. But I'm also a representative. I'm also an ambassador of him. Let's try to think it out. There's a church in the Bible. It was in a city called Corinth. Corinth was a city in Greece. And Corinth was this wealthy city. They mostly worshipped Greek gods. They had these temples there to the gods of love and the goddesses of love. And they would perform all of these like sexualized acts in the name of worship. They would like pursue their pleasures. They would have things and ceremonies called like sacred prostitution just in worship of their gods, and everything kind of was like you could let loose in Corinth. You could like whatever you wanted to do could happen in Corinth. Wherever you wanted to be, you could be it in Corinth. Whatever you wanted to pursue, whether good or bad, you could pursue it in Corinth. In fact, the immorality of Corinth was so bad that people that weren't from Corinth, if they met somebody with like low morals and like lived a certain type of lifestyle, they would say that they act like a Corinthian. That's the reputation that Corinth had, that people would act like a Corinthian because they're living like they have no values, they're living like they have no morals. They're doing whatever they want in pursuit of their own pleasure. And then we read in Acts 18 that there's a guy called Paul. And it says, Paul left Athens to go to Corinth. And this would be the turning point for Corinth. Some things would begin to shift in Corinth because Paul left Athens to go there. Because Paul would show up. It says, there he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They'd left whenever Caesar deported all the Jews from Rome. It says, Paul lived there and worked with them, for they were tent makers just like he was. He was just going about his life. Just normal 9-to-5, making some tents life in Corinth with some people. He showed up, but he shows up knowing, I'm not trying to be like I'm from Corinth. I'm coming from somewhere else with an assignment from somewhere else to live like I'm from somewhere else because I'm an ambassador. So he shows up, and it says, each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word and testifying, because ambassadors have to represent and speak of where they're from or else nobody would know. Because he testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, he just cried and stayed in his room. Says, no, he didn't. That's a joke. It's not in your Bible. This is Paul shook the dust off his clothes and said, your blood's on your own hands now. It's like he's communicated the gospel and said, you're a big boy. You're a big girl. You've heard the good news. You need to decide. And they rejected him. And he says, your blood is on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I'm just going to go preach to the Gentiles. He didn't stop. He didn't say, oh, no, nobody's listening to me. Let's move to Athens again. They were nice there. He says, no, there's other people that need to hear. There's other people that need to know. I'm going to go to the Gentiles now. Maybe they'll listen. He says, then he left and went to the home of Titus, a Gentile who worshipped God and lived next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, these names are unbelievable, the leader of the synagogue and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. And many others in Corinth also heard Paul. They became believers and were baptized. And one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, hold on. He said, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. Let's hit pause for a second, and let's believe that the Lord is looking for some people in Dublin, in Galway, in Cork, and wherever you're from, that will stand up and speak out and not be afraid of what people will say of them. And the Lord is looking for some people because he's saying over those cities and towns and places, saying over this nation, there's already some people there that belong to me, and I just need you to speak up and speak out and represent me to them, and maybe they would come home to me because they're already mine. I've already seen them. I'm already speaking to them. So Paul stayed there for a year and a half. Led a revival meeting every night. Doesn't say. It says for 18 months, he just taught the word of God. Because he's an ambassador to some people. He's an ambassador to some people. Paul goes and speaks and preaches, and these people start to give their lives, and Corinth begins to turn. A church is established. We know that because Paul later writes some letters to them. A church is established in Corinth because somebody shows up in a city and says, no, I don't have to live like you. I'm not from here. I'm just passing through. I have another assignment from another king. I can live like someone else. Let me show you what the kingdom of God is like. And so Paul establishes this church. People start to get saved, but then Paul moves on and leaves this church and leaves some people there. But what happens is, we can tell from Paul's letters that what happens is the kingdom of God had begun to invade Corinth. But then it looks like, as you read the letters, that Corinth started to invade the church. The church became a little bit like Corinth. There's lots of stuff that we read through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's fighting and bickering amongst themselves all of the time. There's like a form of racism where they're starting to say, no, he's my favorite teacher because he's Roman, and he's my favorite teacher because he's Greek, and he's my favorite teacher. And they're picking people because of their nationality and their races and saying, oh, they're my favorite because of that. There's people polarizing into two camps over certain issues. Sounds like they were living in 2024. There's classism. They're like, you've got money, you don't have money, you sit here, you don't sit there. No, you're poor, we're not giving anything to you. We're going to honor the people with some money who can pay more into this thing. There was sexual immorality, there was sensuality, their theology got twisted, they started to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Things started to just happen and creep into the church. They were arguing over spiritual gifts and who was better and what was better and who's the more holy and the more spiritual one because of what the Lord has given to them. It seems like Paul went there carrying his mantle as an ambassador, understanding his assignment as an ambassador. But when he left, nobody else seemed to stand up and take it on for themselves. Because it began to creep in. They're called to represent the kingdom of God, but instead it all becomes a little bit muddy. And as you read through, and you begin to understand what had happened in that church, you realize it didn't look like Corinth anymore, and it also didn't look like the kingdom of God. It didn't look like anything. It all got a little bit muddy, and little bits of everything, and it didn't really look like anything, because it didn't fully and accurately represent either. But an ambassador's called to reflect something and represent something. They're called to reflect something. And we need to understand as ambassadors, my call is to reflect that culture, to reflect that king. It's important to understand that we're not the source of it. I am not the source of any of it. I just reflect it. I am not the source of any of it. I just reflect it. I am not the source of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I just get to carry it and reflect it. I am not the source of salvation. I just get to point you to him. I am not the source of your healing. I just can introduce you to the one who can. I just get to carry him in here and reflect him to you. We get to reflect stuff. And here's what I think happened. I think what happens is this, and it happened in Corinth. You can only reflect what you behold. I think you can only communicate what you look at. You're a witness because you looked at it, and then I can tell you what it was like. I can only show you what I know. And I can only represent what's truly in my heart. And I worry that just like the church in Corinth, we run this very real risk of looking at the culture around us rather than the kingdom of God. Looking at the culture around us rather than at the word of God in order to start to build our morals and build our values and build how we carry ourselves, to begin to build our mindsets. We begin to look at culture and what does everyone else think and what's popular right now and what should I say and what shouldn't I say? And we begin to look around us instead of looking at the Bible and saying, no, what does God say? What is God like? Because I'm an ambassador. I need to think like him. I need to talk like him. I need to act like him. I need to represent him to you. What does God think? And instead we're looking at everybody else and saying, oh, can I say it? Is it okay to think like that? Is it okay to do it? We allow culture to tell us what's acceptable. We allow culture to try to tell us what God really said. We allow culture to try to tell us how we should be living. We allow culture to tell us to quiet the word of God in our hearts and in our lives in case it offends some people around us. We allow culture to try to make us compromise. We allow culture to almost deconstruct, to reconstruct some form of like more palatable gospel just so people might take it. So people might take it from us and nobody gets upset and offended. But I want to remind you tonight, this is not your home. If you're a Jesus person in here, this is not your home. This is not your home. I am an ambassador for another kingdom. I am not of this world. I am in it. Here I am. But I'm not of this. I'm not off this world. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a child of God. I am an ambassador of Christ on the earth today. I'm an ambassador of another kingdom. And so the question I've got for myself and for you is, how do we do this well? How am I going to do it better? How am I going to do it well? Because here's what I think. I think we're all ambassadors for something. You'll be an ambassador for something. You'll be an ambassador for something, and I think you'll be an ambassador for what's fully in your heart. I think you'll be an ambassador for what has got your heart. And if Jesus is asking me to make sure that is telling me that I'll be an ambassador for him, and if I want to make sure that I do that well, then I need to make sure I do what I can to make sure that what's in my heart is him, that this kingdom is in my heart. Why do you think the Bible tells us to guard our heart? Stuff just creeps in if we don't guard it. Stuff will just get in there, and then you'll begin to reflect it because you aren't guarding your heart. If Jesus is asking me to be an ambassador for him, if this is the task before me, then I want to make sure that I do it well. And I think what we have to do is twofold. I think our purpose in this is twofold. That my primary purpose, we've learned about it today a bunch of times, and I feel like the Lord's really been saying something. It's one of those things people start to talk, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's in my talk. And then you're like, do I delete it? No, we just say it again and again and again and again and again until we get it and we allow it to change us. I think my primary purpose in this life is to behold him. Is to look to him, is to look at him, to immerse myself in him, to worship him, to be with him, to be like him, to spend my resource on him, to spend my time on him, to spend my money on him, to behold him, because when I do, then my default reaction will be to reflect him, because he will get into my heart and my heart will want him above everything else. I will reflect him to the world around me, because when I see him, I don't mean I've like given him like a glimpse, when I see him in all of his beauty and all of his glory and all of his majesty, when I really see him, I promise you it will ruin you for everything else. When you really see him, when you look in the eyes of the one who has given himself for you, when you realize that God himself would put flesh on and would come to this earth and would live a life that you cannot live and die a death that we all deserve to die and would rise again, defeating death for us so that we might rise with him and live with him, that he would take our wages of sin, the death that was ours, and offer us a gift of life. And when you see him, you'll be ruined. You'll be ruined for anything else. Once you gaze upon the one who would do that for you, who would love you at your worst, would come and find you right where you are right now, then nothing else will come close. Paul said, everything else is worthless. Is it worthless on its own? No. But in comparison to knowing him and being one with him, it's all worthless. I'm ruined because I've seen him. I've seen him and I've become one with him. And now there's nothing that this world will give me will satisfy me. I think the world might satisfy a craving. Sin will satisfy a craving, but it won't satisfy your soul. Like, it won't meet that deep need within you. When you see him, you're ruined for him, and you'll always reflect something. And I would argue that what you behold the most is what you'll reflect the most. Like, you know, people that like love, it's usually sports, I'm saying that, but like, it could be anything. And people that are like in it and love it, like, you don't have to get too far into a conversation, they're talking about it. Like, that's just it. Like, the people that do, you know, it's a big one. Like, and I'm not shaming you, you did it too, but on your Instagram. Like, people that run marathons and stuff, like, they're like, they're like, running a marathon. And you're like, yeah, we know, we know. They're talking a lot. Why? Because they're looking at it a lot. They're looking at it a lot. And when you look at it a lot, it gets into you. And whatever is in you will come out of you. And so I have to be aware that whatever I allow to catch my eye, whatever I allow to catch my gaze will end up in my heart. If it's in my heart, it will come out of me. I will always reflect the thing that I behold the most. I will always reflect the thing that I behold the most. The Corinthian church struggled because of what they were looking at. They took their eyes off him and began to look at each other. I began to look at Corinth and began to look around them. And Paul had stepped out of the picture and stopped, and he wasn't there saying, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. And they began to look at each other and it began to seep into their heart and they began to reflect it. And we can point our fingers and say, after all Jesus did for that Corinthian church, how dare they do that? How dare they pollute it? How dare they do that? As my parents used to teach me, when you're pointing one finger, there's always three pointing back at you. How dare they? And I realized we probably do the same. Trying to be relevant, trying to fit in, trying to look for the next trend or the next fad, and I'm looking more like this kingdom than the one that I'm from. What's the cool thing? What's the thing everybody wants to do? What's the thing we can... But I'm looking more like this kingdom than that one. As an ambassador, here's my question. As an ambassador, does the culture of my life look more like this world or more like the kingdom of God? As an ambassador, does the culture of my life look more like this kingdom? Look more like the culture around me than it does like the kingdom of God? Because the call on our life was not to fit in. And the call in our life was not to run with the crowd. And the call in our life was not to look relevant and be relevant. The call in our life was not any of those things. It was not to do what everyone else does when everyone else says. It was not to speak up when people tell you. It was not to say what people tell you you can say or can't say. The call in my life was to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The call in my life was to pick up my cross and to deny myself and die to myself and follow him and behold him and worship him and reflect that to the world. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. When you see me, you should see him. My life should point you to him. As you look at me, I should be saying, no, look past me. Look at him. And we can talk like ambassadors and at the very same time act like citizens of the world. We can say all the right things at all the right times in all the right places. Lift our hands, because I'll stand. I'm not singing. No, good luck. Oh, the song said stand hand arms high. Oh my goodness, look, their hands are high. I'm acting like an ambassador, but what's in my heart? I can talk like an ambassador, but what's in our heart? Because what's in our heart is what we'll actually reflect. And so what's really going on inside of us? We can talk like ambassadors and live like citizens of the world. Jesus could save your soul. And then you're running around trying to find purpose somewhere else. Like where things aren't adding up to us here. Jesus, we say things like, Jesus is worth our whole lives. Jesus is worth my everything. Were you at church on Sunday? No. Just went for coffee. Just took an easy Sunday morning. Jesus is worth my whole life. Didn't even give him our Sunday morning. Like, Jesus is worth everything. Jesus is, we say to people, Jesus is the love that you're looking for. And then I'm running to a relationship, and then another relationship, and then another relationship, and then another relationship. But Jesus is the love that I'm looking for. But then there's this person, and then this person, and then this person, and I'm trying to find it somewhere else because what's coming out of my mouth and what's in my heart is obviously two different things right now. Jesus has a plan for your life. It's a plan to prosper you. And then I'm going to go build my own thing. Jesus, just bless it, please. I think my plan's really good. I think my plan's really good, Jesus. I've got a 5-year plan. Just bless it. I would love to see the statistics on if anybody's 5-year plans actually ever worked. No, not mine either. We're called to be in this world, not off this world. This is not our home. If you are a Jesus follower, this is not your home. He is preparing a place for you where you will be with him one day. That is my home. That is the hope that I carry. I know that on this earth and on this assignment, I will have troubles, but I take heart because my King in that kingdom has overcome the world and he has went to be with the Father and he is ever interceding for me. And one day I will be with him forever. But even now, while I am here, he is with me always, even until the end of the age. This is not my home. But we're settling. We're settling. I'm coming for you, Jesus. But then we have the kids, and then we get the mortgage, and then we have the, but I could get that new job, and then my salary goes up, and then I mean, Lord, I'd give you a bit more, but this is not our home. This is not your home. This is not your home. And I think, honestly, we struggle because of what we're looking at. And if I can get you, if we can get you to a place, like if I can get you to do one thing this entire weekend, it's this. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look at him. And I don't want you to look at a version of him. I don't want you to look at what you think you know about him. I don't want you to look at the Jesus that you've created in your own mind because it fits in with your life. I don't want you to look at the Jesus that maybe has been communicated to you, but maybe he's been misrepresented. I want us to have a moment where we're looking at him. where we see him for who he is, not who I want him to be, not who I think I need him to be, not I want to look at him for who he really is, because when I see him, I will be ruined for him. I honestly think the struggle is what we're looking at, and I want to look at him. I want to behold him. I want to behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, and then I will begin to worship that which I behold, and then I'll begin to think like that which I behold, and then I'll begin to speak like that which I behold, and then I'll begin to represent accurately that which I behold. I will reflect that which I behold, because he is the source of life. He is the source of hope. He is the source of joy. He is the source of strength. He is the source of peace. And my job is just to behold him and then reflect him to the world around me. I have a job to do. We have a job to do. And it's our job to reflect him. I'm going to ask the band to come and join me. We're supposed to reflect a different way. We're supposed to reflect a different way. We're supposed to reflect another way. Here's what we're supposed to be here letting people know I am an ambassador for Christ. And everything that you're looking for is found in him. And at the same time, I'm not running around looking for everything anywhere else. I don't just have the lingo, I'm living it out. Everything you're looking for is found in him. And so that's why you won't find me looking for anything anywhere else. It's all in him. We're supposed to reflect a different way. We're supposed to be able to speak for him. We're supposed to be able to speak for him. Did you catch the language? We plead for God. For God so loved the world that he would give his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life with him. And he says to us, you're my ambassador. I've saved you. I've set you free. Speak for me. When was the last time you pleaded with someone? Come back to God. Come back to God. Come back to God. Come back to God. And we can try, yes, we have to live it out, we have to love them, and we have to be kind, and we have to be just. But when was the last time we looked someone in the eye and said, please just come home. Please just come home. Please just come back to him. Come back to God, because an ambassador lives it out, but also lifts their voice at the same time. Come back to him. We speak for him. We're supposed to stand and say, you're searching for a way to God, but there is a way. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's a narrow way, but there is a way. But I found it. Let me show you how to get there. Let me introduce you to the one. Come back to God. We're supposed to let the world know that they don't have to act better or be better or do better before they can encounter Jesus, but Jesus would meet them right where they are, and wherever they find themselves, whatever addiction they find themselves in, whatever sin they find themselves in, whatever state they find themselves in, that they don't have to show up to church, but that they can have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he will meet them right where they are, and everything could change in a moment. Come back to God. Come back to God. We have a message. He handed us a message. He handed us an assignment. He handed us a message, this gospel, this good news. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who would believe. Where are the ambassadors that will lift their voice and declare the gospel? Because how would they come to know him if nobody tells them? How would they know unless somebody says, there is one who loves you, who loves you, who loves you. There is one who is pursuing you right now. He's coming after you right now. Where are the ambassadors? Where are the ambassadors? Where are the ambassadors that recognize the weight of what we read in verse 20? Like, I am speaking for God. Here's what's interesting to me. Jesus lives his life modeling an ambassador. And he did it. And he wasn't worried about offending people. He wasn't worried about upsetting people. He had this way of being able to offend and upset people and love them at the same time. Like, but he was an ambassador, and he was offensive until the point of what they would crucify him. He picked some disciples who would become ambassadors to the point where most of them were martyred and laid down their life for the gospel. And here's why I'm challenged, because the call to be an ambassador can feel difficult to us and might feel difficult to you. Like, oh, I can't speak up and I can't say it. I can't do it. And I'm challenged because sometimes you're like, well, why wouldn't you? What if they don't like me anymore? What if I share the gospel with them and they don't like me anymore? What if they stop talking to me? What if someone cancels me for preaching the gospel, for sharing what the Bible says? What if they say really nasty things about me on social media and everybody sees it? They might. People might say things about you. People might want to cancel you. People might want to ignore you and leave you and walk away from you. People might want to do all of that stuff. But I, honestly, in the most pastoral way that I can, my response to you would be this. Who cares? This is not my home. This is not my home. This is not my home. I have an assignment. I have a job to do. My job is to speak for God and plead with people, come back to Him. Come back to Him. Whatever that might look like, come back to Him. My job is to represent Him to the world. You're supposed to be able to show people. We are supposed to, as the people of God, be able to show people what it's like in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be able to let people hear what the King sounds like when He speaks. We're supposed to be able to show people what the King acts like when He shows up. We're supposed to be able to show people what the King cares about. We're supposed to be able to show people who the King cares about. We're supposed to be able to stand in a place, and if they have a question from God, for God, to be able to deliver what God would say to them in that moment. We get to speak for Him in a moment. And I wonder if there are people all over the place wondering, who does He care about? Does God love these people? Does He love those people? Does God care about me? I have a question. I would ask God this. And they're looking for some ambassadors that would step up and say, I can represent Him. He's asked me to represent Him. I wonder if there's some ambassadors that, like, they're looking for someone who would answer the questions, but the problem is we're all so busy looking like everybody else, they can't find us in a crowd. Ambassadors that would represent the kingdom of God rightly. What would happen if you decided tonight? I was going to say, what would happen if you decided that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ, but if you're a Christian, you are. What would happen if we left this place and decided when we got home tonight, when we go to church tomorrow, when we go wherever we end up over this week, for the rest of our days, I am going to make sure above everything else that I reflect Jesus rightly, that I represent Him rightly, that I become a good ambassador of Jesus Christ, that people actually see Him and get to see what the kingdom is like. What would happen if that was who we are? What would happen if we said, I'm determined that I will represent Jesus rightly, and then actually made some big boy and big girl decisions to actually live like it? Not caught up in our feelings, not caught up in our emotions, not caught up in what the world's telling us, but I'm going to make some decisions based on the Word of God and what it tells me to live like and act like and be like, and I'm going to represent Jesus to the world around me. I promise you things would be different, because there isn't one person throughout the Scriptures who encountered Jesus and were exactly the same afterwards. Things would be different. Things would be different. So what if we just looked at Him? I'd love us to take, because there's only so much I can tell you to go be a good ambassador. Do you know what we need to do? Look at Him. Because I can only reflect what I behold. I can only reflect what I see. I can only reflect who I know. I can only reflect what I know. And so I wonder, could we stand together for a second? Because here, my goal as an ambassador is to behold Him, to gaze upon Him, to look unto Him until the point that I realize that Jesus is worth everything. If you are not at a point in your life where you feel like Jesus is worth everything, then maybe you need to look at him for a little bit longer. Maybe you need to look at him for a little bit longer and be with him for a little bit more. Until the point that I realize that Jesus is worth everything. Until the point that I realize that Jesus is a treasure that I have found in a field, and I will sell everything I have in order to gain him. That everything else is worthless in comparison to knowing him and seeing him and being one with him. What would it look like if we looked upon him for long enough where we recognized he is worth all of my praise and all of my worship and all of my time and all of my energy and all of my dreams and all of my plans and all of my accolades and all of my crowns? Jesus is worth it all. Because if you don't look to the one, if you aren't dedicated to the one, to beholding the one, to worshiping the one, then you'll be an ambassador of something, but it won't be of him. So come on, let's lift our eyes for a few moments. Let's look at him. Let's worship him.